Good Wednesday afternoon. May I be of the first to say it to you at 12:04 on this June 10th. Can you believe that? I see the smiling face of Rich Luzinski over the shoulder of Dave Rieger, who's in for Mike Parsons for the next few days. Hello, Dave. Nice to see you.
Hey, Paul.
Nice to see you, Rich. The Richmeister.
Hey, Rich, you want to say something?
Yeah, happy belated anniversary.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. 6-9-12. I told her it had to be an easy number for me to remember, and that one is. In fact, I just got off the phone with her and said, here we go into our next fabulous year of marriage. Lucky, lucky guy that I am. We also have Danielle Mason standing by. It's nice to be able to see Danielle. We're back on the video. If you go to, YouTube and Facebook. If you go to the YouTube and Facebook pages, we are now streaming our video live. So you can watch us if you're in a position to do that. You can always podcast us, which I hope you'll do. It matters. It counts. And you can listen to the whole show later. If you can't be here noon to two, you can listen in like an hour and 10 minutes, the whole show, at WJR.com, where you also stream us, or get that free WJR app. All the cool kids have it. And I hope you will get it as well. All right. You're on your way to making each and every day count. You know each day is a gift. QTR, don't know how much there is, and I'm reminded of that all the time. Don't know how much quality time remaining we have. So bear that in mind and live your life to the fullest each day if you can. And I do thank you for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And don't just take it from me. Take it from the MAB, Michigan Association of Broadcasters, bestowing WJR with the number one station of the year award again. So congratulations to all, and especially the people behind the scenes that make all this happen. So I mentioned Rieger is in, not only Friday with his movie review, but the next 3 days producing, as Mike Parsons is off taking care of some personal business that we'll talk about if he wants to.
Kind of a throwback Wednesday, if you will.
It's what?
Kind of a throwback Wednesday, producing your show. Kind of a throwback, you know.
I see. I've heard the expression throwback, yes. I don't use it very much. I'm glad you did. Can you tell me this? Can you tell me about the Air Canada? I'm going to be honest. I've not had the best of experiences with Air Canada. Delta is my airline. I know they're in partnership or code share or something, but Delta is what I want to be on. But Air Canada, they just announced there was a pilot arrested after nearly 17 years of flying passengers with a fake pilot's license. Did you hear this?
I did see this story.
I'm looking at Danielle. It looks like this is Danielle's first time hearing this story from the look on your face, Danielle.
That is correct. That's not good.
It sounds almost too wild to be true, but police say it quietly unfolded in plain sight. But they don't explain how it happened. He obviously knew how to fly airplanes. He was a pilot, but maybe just not...
It says he didn't require... He didn't get the license. He didn't obtain the license required of a captain, I guess.
To fly passengers.
Yeah. So
he
maybe he's
fly,
a pilot.
But not fly passengers.
Right.
Too bizarre. Anyway, so that's one of those bizarre stories that you go, wow, really?
With the amount of problems that we've been seeing lately with planes, airlines, helicopters, whatever, it's kind of scary.
So we had one of those fabulous Apache helicopters that was patrolling the Strait of Hormuz being shot down by Iran. You know, the Iran that doesn't have an air force, a navy, anything.
Right, exactly.
But apparently they have drones coming out of their ears, and apparently it was a drone that shot down the Apache helicopter. And more incredible, our two American pilots were saved by a drone boat.
It's pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
It is. It's amazing if you think about it that you can, when you back in the day, if we played too many video games.
You mean like
games,
on a Playback Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly. It's like on a Throwback Wednesday.
Throwback Wednesday.
If we, when I was growing up, it was frowned upon to play too many video games. But now, think about all of the dexterity and all of the what you could learn, because these guys that are now playing those video games are now controlling these drones and saving people and shooting down planes and dropping bombs, and it's crazy.
Listen,
hundreds of miles away somewhere else.
I've pointed it out before, but not lately, and that is, in all of the concern we had about our kids playing video games and stuff, the good news is that they have developed certain dexterity skills.
Yes.
To do other things. I never thought about they've developed the dexterity skills to fly drones and crash into buildings and shoot down helicopters. But they've also learned how to use their dexterity and that ability in medicine. Surgeons are now calling upon their skills that they might have developed as kids with those video games they were being told they were wasting their time on and shouldn't have been on, and they're using them to do all of these incredible surgeries now.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't even hear about robotic surgery anymore. It must be just happening so often that no one talks about it. Remember, what was the one?
Part of life now.
The first one, not Einstein. What was it called? I can't remember, but it was used for prostate cancer. Dr. Money, he liked the name. I think he's long retired. Started doing it first with the robotics, and as far as I know, it was very successful. Danielle, do you use suntan lotion?
Always.
Always? Good for you. Rieger, you don't use suntan lotion. You don't, or do you when you go out on the golf course?
Yes, I do on the golf course, but I prefer the suntan spray to the lotion. But yeah,
seems same thing. It like we waste a lot when we use the spray. I've used the spray before.
I prefer the spray. Yes,
it's easier to do. So for the first time in over 25 years, the FDA has approved a new sunscreen ingredient for the market maybe if you pay attention, and we have talked about this on the show, there are sunscreens out there that aren't good for you. They flat out tell you that's not good for your skin. I've talked to doctors. I've talked to other experts who've said, yeah, we don't recommend that. I go, wait a minute. It's a sunscreen. It's supposed to be good for us. It's supposed to help us, protect us. But there's a new drug or ingredient called bemastrozinol, and I have no idea if I'm pronouncing it correctly, that's safe for adults and children 6 months and older and meets the standards for protecting from all of the sun's ultraviolet rays. Now, the problem with this story is this has been available in Europe for years and yet not available in these United States when it's considered, I guess, safer and better. Which leads me to the conversation I had with somebody on the phone yesterday, and I don't remember who. Might have been Bernie, my sister-in-law, but we call her Sister Bernie, who's having a little hand surgery today. Say a little prayer for Bernie, my late brother Mark's wonderful wife. But we were talking about why is it that there are food substances that we still have in the United States that have been banned in Europe for years. Why is that? And you start to talk about what's going on in medicine and with people, and have they not said to us that cases of Alzheimer's are growing fast? I mean, very fast growth in problems with Alzheimer's. Has anyone studied to see if it goes right along with the fast growth of statins being given to people? And the information now, we know that in our brains, we need fat. And everybody's been on a fat-free diet for so long, we might not be feeding the brain the way we need to. And the statins certainly get rid of the fat in any way it can, and not always the best way. And you know, I've always been leery of even a drug I take now, I take Mounjaro, I don't take it for weight loss. I take it for diabetes, but I'm not a big fan of those drugs. What are they called GPL-1s.
GLP-1, yeah.
GLP-1s, whatever. I mean, that's going to end poorly, I think. Every time they come up with something else, they say it will cure. It'll keep you from smoking.
Do you kind of feel, Paul, that just breathing air is going to get you something in the end?
Mm-hmm. That's why I have air cleaners in the house. Didn't do it early enough, but that's why I would call Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical and talk to them about cleaning the air in your house because it needs to be cleaned. Yeah, I believe there's a lot of environmental problems out there, starting with our air and starting with our water. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it just seems like something's going to get you in the end, no matter how much you try to prevent.
Biggest thing was, I believe this podcaster, I think it was Joe Rogan, and I don't listen to him on a regular basis. I wouldn't know how at this point, but I have heard him, and I've heard him do commercials. I think it's called NeuroGum, and I thought, well, that sounds interesting, and I ordered it. And I mentioned this on the air the other day. I don't have a bag here because I threw them all away. There were two or three artificial sweeteners in it. And you know I've been against artificial sweeteners for years. Sucralose, aspartame.
Fructose, yeah.
All those fake synthetic sweeteners are bad for you, in my opinion. But now I mentioned it because it was a story in the news that science has finally caught up with and said, well, this may not be good for you. No kidding, it's not good for you. Anyway, I had to throw all that neuro gum away that they were singing the praises of because it had all the artificial sweeteners. I don't want anything with artificial sweeteners. Don't need it. I don't need it to be sweet. And, you know, they've got such a grip on medicine and other stuff, they put it in pills that you're not even chewing or sucking on. You're swallowing the pill. What do you need? They use it as a binder, I suppose, but you don't need it to be sweetened with artificial sweeteners. Makes no sense. All right. I'll get off my couch now, and we'll get underway. It is heading toward 12:17. It is the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. Maybe for Rieger, a throwback Wednesday, but for the rest of us, it's just hump day. Woo-hoo! Yeah, he's on a pension plan now. He's not getting paid much, but he's on pension, and we kept the camel. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Oh, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. All righty, coming up here, we're going to find out hang on one second. I have my usual problem with my telephone here to get what I need next coming up. I got myself a little out of order here, but this won't take long. Just talk amongst yourselves. Oh, here we go. A shooting in a quiet Livonia neighborhood has left four family members dead and a fifth in custody. The investigation into a motive continues this afternoon, and WJR's Marie Osborne joins us with the very latest. Man, oh man, I could live a whole lifetime without another story like this one, Marie.
Oh, for sure, for sure. This was a very bad situation that Livonia police came upon yesterday afternoon. They just completed a press conference a short time ago. So here's what we know. They say this happened at a home on Rensselaer. This is near 7 Mile and Inkster. Officers were called just before 6 o'clock. When they arrived at the house, they discovered four victims suffering from gunshot wounds, all pronounced dead at the scene. There was a man exiting the home when the police arrived. His hands were behind his head. The man told police he shot his family. The victims identified as Sterling Pierce, 58, the mother in the home, Holly Kimball, 53, the son, Tanner Pierce, 22, and his girlfriend, 21-year-old Nevaeh Finch. Livonia Police Chief Tom Goralski says a weapon was recovered from the scene. The motive, though, it's still being investigated.
We are working on motives. At this point, all I can tell you is this, that there was a contentious relationship between the suspect and his parents. And that's all we can tell you. We don't know what happened yesterday.
Chief Goralski says there were no records of police runs to that home. And in addition,
The suspect is not in the system or any systems that our mental health clinician can find anywhere.
So they're still working on the important piece in this case, and that is a motive. The detectives are working on the case right now. They're going to be sending their report, Paul, to the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, and they'll determine whether charges will be filed here.
Whether charges will be filed?
Every case comes in, they've got to decide whether charges will be filed. That's how it works.
When a guy comes out with his arms up saying, I just shot my family. Okay, well, there are certain things that I guess have to happen and have to be done, no matter how much time they waste and money they cost us. But eventually we'll pretty much say, when a guy comes out with his arms up and says, I just shot my family, it should be kind of an open and shut case. And, you don't want to hear how I feel about these things, but I'm so tired of stories like this, and I'm really tired of trying to find a motive. What motive is there that would make us say, oh, that's why he killed his whole family? There isn't anything. Not abuse, not terrible behavior, not anything that justifies killing someone's entire family. Anyway, I know you just report him, but yeah. Officers go into the house after the guy comes out with his hands up saying he just shot everybody, and they find everybody, and he's not lying. He shot everybody. Two dead people in the bedroom on the first floor, two dead people in the backyard. All four victims pronounced deceased at the scene. They never had a chance. And now we go through all the stuff that, as you put it, they always have to go through. I don't know. What else do we say about a story like this?
Yeah, other than it's just a sad, obviously a very sad tragedy that happened here. So it was shocking. And just this whole neighborhood was, this does not happen in this area. So people were very, very deeply concerned.
Sadly, we have found that these things happen
everywhere.
In every neighborhood.
Yeah, everywhere.
It is just gut-wrenching. It is... I've run out of words on stories like this. So you've got it all. You've given it to us. We appreciate that. Any other information comes up, I know you'll let us know, Marie.
I will.
Marie Osborne, our WJR Director of Community Affairs and News at 12:29. And your chance to win a trip to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire in the city of your choice. We've got your flights, hotel, concert tickets, and premium VIP lounge access covered. It's your chance to sing along all night long with Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire, prize provided by Live Nation. Text this hour's national keyword, TENDER, to 95819. That's TENDER, T-E-N-D-E-R, to 95819. They're going to text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. Play four times each weekday for four chances to win. Official rules and more information at WJR.com. All right, something to look forward to, something to enjoy. A wonderful restaurant that's sitting there waiting for us to come on Townsend Street in Birmingham. It is really one of Michigan's best locally owned and operated establishments, and it's especially very nice now that it's summer officially here, because they have outdoor dining at this Birmingham hotspot for Italian dining. We love Italy. We love Italian food. We love Bella Piatti on Townsend Street in Birmingham, and we're happy to have the owner and general manager joining us, Paul W. here in Focus, Nino Cotrero. Nino, nice to say hello to you, sir.
Likewise. Always nice to see you.
And Kevin Mazziata, the general manager of Bella Piatti, who's made his name a variety of places over the years, and they're all good names, The Lark, Tribute, Golden Mushroom, and now Bella Piatti. Kevin, nice to have you on board.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, Nino.
Hey, hi.
You guys don't get a chance. You guys don't get a chance to talk very often, probably. So busy once you get there. That you have one of the busiest restaurants ever, Nino. And are there any keys to getting in? I guess the most important one is to make sure you get a reservation.
Yes, it's very, I mean, it's a small place. It's very intense. So, you know, we recommend obviously reservations. But, you can call me direct and I try to do the best. And I do with a lot of friends. But, we spend a lot of time over there. I personally spend a lot of time. We have an amazing crowd. This is like the Italian Cheers because everybody know each other.
The Italian Cheers. I like that. Well, you can go online, Bella Piatta, BellaPiattiRestaurant.com, BellaPiattiRestaurant.com, or you can call 248-494-7110, 248-494-7110. And all I know for sure is that you are going to have a wonderful time because the food is off the chart spectacular. The ambiance is great. And there is that personal connection that Nino talks a little bit about. You really practice the lost art of engaging with those of us who come into the restaurant to make sure that our visit is truly a great experience, Nino.
Yes, because we're still the old-fashioned way. If we greet everybody, we talk to everybody. I mean, it's not a chain restaurant that you got no personality. I mean, the place is me and Kevin and my wife personality. I mean, you come over there, it's like an event. It's something you will not forget because I personally and Kevin personally ask our dinner and we talk about everything from weather with the customer to families. It's something that nobody does anymore. I mean, the old time, you know, restaurant tour they used to do, they used to be right there. But, I don't know, I could be the last of the Mohicans, you know.
The last of the Mohicans with a fabulous, authentic Italian restaurant. In fact, Kevin Mazziata, the general manager since opening in 2013, that menu that you maintain, I think it's been described as first-generation Northern Italian cuisine with a nod to Rome and Sicily. Does that sum it up pretty well, Kevin?
Yeah, I believe so. The chef Francesco is from Venice, so that's in Northern Italy, and he has a pretty keen focus on seafood. But we also want to introduce Nino's hometowns in Sicily and his upbringing in Rome, and so we're trying to represent good portion of Italy there, and do it in a way that's appealing to our local crowd.
Some people say it might be, certainly there in Birmingham, the best spot in the city to enjoy outdoor dining. And there's an excellent vibe throughout the summer. Let's face it, we all like going to great restaurants that have great service, great food, and a great reputation, but it also is kind of fun that when you're here at Bella Piatti, you might run into Steve Eiserman and his wife Lisa, or Derek Jeter when he's in town, or Stanley Tucci, who we know traveled Italy looking for great food, and when he comes to the Birmingham area or the Detroit area, he knows where to go, 167 Townsend Street in Birmingham at Bella Piatti. The list of celebrities that you've entertained, and not just once, but repeatedly, is a lot of fun for those of us who just come in to eat, and we kind of spot the celebrities as just a little extra dessert, if you will.
Yeah, Paul, it's great sightseeing from the patio. We're directly across the street from the Townsend Hotel, so, it's a little quieter on that piece of the strip, and you get to see all the people coming and going. So, it's a dinner and a show.
And Nino, you were featured in that book, Taboo, the inside story of how entrepreneur Nino Cotrero created some of the most celebrated nightclubs in America. I know you're thrilled with your clientele, whether it's the average person coming in with their husband or wife or family, Or it's one of those celebrities. You feel good about all of them, and you treat them all the same way, very well.
Yes, I treat them everybody the same way, with respect. And, you know, last week we had Ken Holland, you know, the ex-general manager of the Red Wings, and Luke Robitaille. I mean, they were there 3 days in a row, table 15. It was very hard to do it for us because, we're not a big restaurant. But they're fun. You know, they're fun. We had everybody. I mean, we had, you know, last year we had AC/DC, and the main singer at the end, they said, can I take a picture with you? He'd get up and give me like a big bear hug and say, okay, let's take a picture.
Yeah, it's really it's like a family. It is like an old-fashioned, spectacular, first-generation Northern Italian restaurant, because it is. The food is off the charts. The service is spectacular. You need both to make it a fabulous restaurant. It's very busy. It's the hot ticket in Birmingham, 167 Townsend Street. You can go online at BellaPiattiRestaurant.com, BellaPiattiRestaurant.com. You can call 248-494-7110, 248-494-7110. You can try to get away with saying, well, Nino told me to call. Do anything you can to try to get a reservation. If you keep trying, you'll eventually get in.
Yeah, you might get in just to say that, but there's a lot of more people to say the same thing. You're not the first one. Listen, before we close, August 31st, we're doing a fundraiser. I did it last year, and we benefit Children's Hospital. I'm very close to the Children's Hospital. Variety, and some of them, I have a scholarship in my own town in Sicily that I do on my own.
Good.
But 98% of the procedure go to the kids. 98%.
And this
last year we raised $326,000, and this year I'm hoping to do $500,000.
This is August 31st at the restaurant.
Yes.
What do we need to do to try to help out?
Well, you know, you can come in. You can donate it. We have. Probably one of the biggest automotive company suppliers coming in and they helped me out, like TI Automotive, Dana, and Tentacle, and our friend from Lear, Ray Scott. So,
Ray and Maria,
they all come in and help us out. So it's a good cause, and I'm very proud because, you know, we give away 98%. It doesn't happen too many times with the, you know, fundraisers.
No, that's fabulous. And now with the outside open, that makes it a little more space that maybe more people can get in. And I wish you well. If we can get there, we will, to help you hit that $500,000 mark. August 31st, helping out Children's Hospital, Variety, the Children's Charity. We love them both. And a little bit going to your hometown in Italy. God bless you for doing that. You don't need to, so we really embrace that and appreciate it. The owner, Nino Cotrero of Bella Piatti, and the general manager since it opened, Kevin Mazziata. Gentlemen, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
It's our pleasure here. Letting you know about great places in focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. At 12:54, quick check with the United States Congresswoman, Michigan 6th District, Debbie Dingell. Michigan Department of Corrections Director Heidi Washington had promised to make public an environmental assessment of Michigan's prison for women, which so far has not come through. You'll see in the Metro section of the award-winning The Detroit News today, Dingell wants answers on prison. Congresswoman cites alarming conditions at site of 3 deaths. Good afternoon, Congresswoman. I can see why you're upset.
Good afternoon, Paul W. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday
to
you.
This.
Not so happy with some of the stories we're getting.
No, there are a lot of stories today. This has not been a quiet morning. My phone started at 5 a.m.
Well, if we have time at the end, we'll listen to some of the other problems. But let's talk about the one we've got scheduled here. In a letter that was started at the beginning of the week, addressed to Governor Whitmer, you called on the state to fully publicize any studies, inspections, or reports about the toxic mold and other health and safety issues at Women's Huron Valley Correctional Facility near Ypsilanti. Have you had any response to that letter, Congresswoman?
So, Paul W., look, I've been working on this issue for a significant number of years. I've gone into the prison. Heidi Washington, who's the head of the prison, has come and met with me. I invited all the state legislators from that area. There were about 10 of them. We've met with prisoners, and we keep getting promises made and answers not given. And I just had already been on the phone with the head of Heidi Washington's, the head of the Department of Corrections in Michigan, and other people from the governor's office after the first two deaths. And I've had it. I was already working on a letter before the third person died this weekend, and we need answers. There are more issues that I addressed in that letter, but two of the major issues at that facility are how healthcare issues are handled. People, yes, you have been convicted of a crime and you're there for a reason, but basic, you know, humanity 101 is you make sure people are getting adequate health care. And there are many questions about how people are being taken care of when they are sick, how they get their medicine, what happens when you present with serious symptoms. The second part of that letter addresses the conditions of the prison itself. There have been reports for years about black mold, alleged studies. People have asked for it to be released. I'm one of many. And we've always been told that the attorney general says you can't, there's litigation. Well, nobody's going to, if they're not transparent, if they're not releasing the studies that they say, no, there's no mold, there are no environmental issues, then how do we know that's true? So there was a call. I've had multiple calls in the last 3 weeks. But on Monday, after I sent the letter, and Director Washington said, and it's the first time that legislators have been told that they would release the studies that have been done on air quality and environmental issues. And she said on Monday she would get that done very quickly. And I keep asking every day, when are we going to see it?
All right. Well, you keep in touch with us because we always are in touch with you. We like to follow you and what you're doing. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Look, people might, I can hear what people are saying. Well, these are prisoners. Who cares? Well, look, they're prisoners. They're doing time for their crime, but they didn't get a death sentence, and they should not expect to have one. We continue in Focus. Hour number two of Focus, Relentless Positive Radio. A pleasure to have you here with us on this middle of the week, Wednesday. Some people still call it Hump Day, but woo-hoo! It's just getting through the week, and I hope you love doing what you do so you don't dread each day racing to the weekend. I mean, I love weekends just like you do, but I love doing what I do, and I hope that you love doing what you're doing. That name I was talking about earlier, the pioneer, he was a pioneering urologist at Henry Ford Health in Detroit. It was Dr. Money Menon, and it was probably Money or Manny, but he loved being called Money Menon because he was making a lot of money for Henry Ford with his robotic surgery, especially in the area of prostate cancer, which I don't hear a lot about that surgery anymore, but hopefully they're still doing it very successfully. It is National Iced Tea Day, and drinking tea supports well-being by delivering potent antioxidants that reduce cell damage and improve consumption, lower risk of stroke and diabetes. Excellent daily hydration, sugar, calories. Gained popularity in 1904, and a guy sold tea at the same fair. Is now always National Iced Tea. Kimberly, for that note, I hope you don't get any sweet in it because you don't need it. You don't even get a lemon. Reading about how the lemon washed and they, and I don't want a dirty stinking dirty letter. Anyway, so we know the team up by Dave Rieger in Garrison. He may or may not, when he comes to Dave is here doing L. Mason, which has her Detroit shirt on right now. Go Tigers. And Rich Luzinski with our WJ and weather first. Doing a nice job, as always, with our relentless positive radio. So here's the story they don't want you to remember. And let me explain it to you. I said this before. I'm going to say it again. The Democrat Party now has the next generation of Ted Kennedy. He is named Graham Platner, who under any other circumstances, with the allegations against him, wouldn't see the light of day. But he's a Democrat running in a position to beat the Republican Senator Susan Collins. So, as they did with Ted Kennedy, this is a guy who's going to vote their way, so they don't care all the bad things he did to women, just like they didn't care about all the bad things Ted Kennedy did to women, as long as he voted yes on abortion and a number of other issues that they wanted him to vote on. And he could actually kill someone in it because he, which everybody has seemed to have forgotten about, the glorified Ted Kennedy. Her name was Mary Jo. She was in his car when he drove it off a little bridge after being at a party. And then instead of diving under and trying to save her, he hightailed it out of there so he couldn't get arrested, probably for being a drunk driver. And she died. And his punishment? Well, he was punished severely. His driver's license was suspended for 16 months. That's it. That's what happened to him. But he remained a darling of the Democrat Party, even after Chappaquiddick, which became a national news item, kept him at least from running for president because he didn't want people to dig into it even further. But now, I'm so proud of the Democrats, they have their new Ted Kennedy, and his name is Graham Platner. They should be so proud because, after all that matters is that they retake the Senate majority, and he is one of their best hopes as people in Maine look the other way and vote for him. Sad and sick, and you wonder what's wrong in our society and in politics today. That should help you remember. Just remember, Graham Platner, the new Ted Kennedy for the Democrat Party. Here's a sad story. You go to David.
Yes, I'm here.
You couldn't hear what I said?
No.
Do you go to New York very often?
The last time I was in New York was probably when I was a freshman in high school. So it's been a while.
When you were there, did you see those horse-drawn carriages?
Yeah.
When I lived there, 85 to 90, there were a lot of them. The last time I was back there visiting with Sophie and Natalie, it didn't seem to me that there were as many of them. And I thought that they had kind of drawn the line or come up with more protective rules and laws to protect the horses, and so there were fewer of them. That's what I thought. But here's a terrible story. A carriage horse collapsed and died in Central Park, which has again raised the ire of many, as it should, and calls for the phasing out of horse-drawn carriages, which is a business. This is how some people make their living. And it was a horrible thing. People watched the horse in distress. It was like probably 90 degrees. They don't know why the horse died, but it was probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it was the heat and working in that heat and all of that caused it to happen. The director of New Yorkers for Clean, Livable, and Safe Streets expressed frustration, saying, quote, "This is a disgrace that it's still happening, that we are letting the city council and the mayor, and that the city council and the mayor is letting these horses be literally worked to death."
That's horrible. That is a horrible story.
It's a horrible story. And it's a simple story to fix. You fix it. But apparently there's enough money behind it with people making money, which I mean, I don't see these people as being well-to-do, but maybe it's like one or two people who own all of the horses and hire these people. I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, it could be, you're right, it could be one or two people that own everything that
happens
goes on in Central Park.
It's happening across the board in business. Now, you've heard this before. We've all heard it. And I'll ask Susan Tompor, who's so great. She's the personal finance columnist for the Detroit Free Press. She's going to talk to us about a few things. One of the things I'm going to ask her about, remind me to do this, is here we have this story again. How long has this story been around? Social Security's Retirement Trust Fund is projected to face a funding shortfall in 2032, a year earlier than last year's projections.
We have heard this story a lot about Social Security.
How many years have we been hearing that story?
A lot, yeah.
And what in the world have the elected officials in Washington done to try to fix this problem? Have you heard of anything? I have not.
I have not, no.
They're just telling us now, well, you better get ready to not get Social Security in 2032. They go on further to say, Medicare's hospital insurance trust fund will be unable to pay full benefits in 2033, which is the same estimate they had last year. The looming challenge for the programs, a partial funding gap, not a collapse. Even after trust fund depletion, the system will continue issuing benefits, albeit at reduced amounts.
So let me get this straight. We're going to keep on putting into Social Security. We're going to keep on putting into these benefits, but they're going to run out.
Yes, and on behalf of the elderly, I'd like to thank you kids for after bad so that we can continue to get our Social Security. God bless you for that. Amen.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
But I don't blame you.
It doesn't make
for
any
looking at the facts and going.
It doesn't make any sense.
Why do you keep taking? Can you imagine what our checks would look like if they weren't taking Social Security out of our paychecks and we had that money to invest ourselves?
Of course, we probably would make more money on the deal than we would have after 2032 if we would invest it ourselves due to compound interest.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. For sure.
Now, we can't be trusted to do that.
That's the thing. That was my next point.
But it might not be up to the government to have to enforce that. It should be available to us. And if we screw up, then we screw up, and that's not good. But, you know, the toughest thing is to tell your kids when they come out of school and they say, what do you mean net paycheck? Well, what I mean is look at the gross amount. And then look at what you're actually getting. That's
sure.
called the net.
Yeah.
And you'll quickly learn that the net amount is flat out gross.
You yes, 100%. You've heard of the saying, hindsight is 20/20.
Yep.
It's very difficult to tell somebody who's younger that hindsight is 20/20.
Well,
as you get older, you learn that hindsight is 20/20.
I have told as many people, obviously my own kids, our own kids, just start putting money away. I didn't know these things when I was growing up. If somebody would have told me I could have put $50 a month away and be a millionaire by the time I'm 60, I would have done it. I didn't know it. No one told me. It should be taught in schools while they're deciding, well, do we teach cursive? No, let's not teach cursive. Teach something that really
100%.
Matters.
Yes. Why do we need to know that A squared plus B squared equals C squared?
What we don't.
I mean, have you ever used Pythagorean's theorem in your professional life?
Never been good at math. And once I discovered calculators, I said, I don't need to be good at math.
You know, you can just turn your iPhone sideways and it turns into a scientific calculator. So we're all good.
I know, but then it's too complicated for me to use. But the point is, teach them that $50 put into one of those index funds. You're not paying somebody a fee to oversee your money, and you'll be a millionaire.
Yep. It is amazing.
It's just so simple. So I tell my kids I can't tell the world because we have to tell our own kids, but it's crazy. All right, Susan Tompor tells the world. She's going to be up next here. Personal finance columnist extraordinaire from the Detroit Free Press, 116 at WJR. Now, here's something I tell you, and I do this rather often. I tell you about people that are good at what they do, companies that do a good job that I would be very open to suggesting you use this company, because I used this company. And I do know that when it comes time to call a home services contractor, a lot of people have a major cringe moment. They've heard or experienced nightmare scenarios of bad experiences with home services companies. No one wants to get the runaround, especially when it comes to their home. We're all looking for a contractor we can trust. This is especially true when it comes to a roofing contractor. And that's what you need when you call Victor's Home Solutions. You need to repair or replace your roof. And that's why you need to call them like I did as a paying customer. And they have built their business on taking as good a care of you, the customer, as they do the roof. They also built their business around three simple promises that they make to every customer they work with. Number one, they will respect your time by being on time for appointments, promptly following up and doing what they say they will do. It can be rare, but it is. But Victor's does it. You get a perfect roof installed by their highly skilled roofing crews. And number three, they offer a 50-year leak-free guarantee on every roof they install. No other roofing company can offer you a longer, more comprehensive warranty. Let me say it again. It all comes down to trust. When you hire a roofing contractor, there isn't one I trust more than Victor. Right now, get $500 off a new roof and no interest financing until 2031. Set up your free 21-point roof inspection. Call 866-VICTORS. 866-VICTORS. You can go online at simply victors.com. Paul W. Smith, Focus 118. Always a pleasure to welcome the personal finance columnist extraordinaire at the Detroit Free Press. Susan Tompor is here. Susan, it's been a little too long.
Yes, good to talk to you on this hot, miserable day, huh? What a day. What weather.
Is,
at least it's not cold. At least it's not cold.
It is a hot, miserable day, and I hope and pray people have air conditioning. If it's not working, call Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical to the movies or to the mall or someplace to get out of the heat, because it's I don't handle heat well.
Yeah, me either.
You can always put more clothing on to get warm if you're cold, but man, when you're hot, woof. All right, that you've as you always do, Susan Tompor, you've keyed in on something that I was thinking about, and I keep seeing these advertisements for what appear to be checking accounts I ought to be in. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that some of the big banks, I'll say it, like the Chases, the others, they want you to stay in a checking account that has no interest. They want you to stay in a regular bank account with virtually no interest. That's how they make their money. But there are little, I don't know, upstarts out there that are trying to reel us in now to change our checking accounts and everything else by paying interest. And you say, checking account bonuses sound tempting, but first dig into details. Explain to us.
Well, you're starting to get some mailers, probably because of the competition that's going on, where or emails where you might be offered like $900. Chase has an offer for $900, up to $900 if you open a checking account. You have to bring in $15,000 in new money. And this is usually sent an email that's sent to somebody who has a relationship there already. Maybe they just have a car loan or something like that. So there's all these restrictions. Sometimes you're going to have to do direct deposit, which, of course, is a big pain in the neck if you've already had your payroll or your Social Security being deposited somewhere else. So you have to look at the hassle factor there, too. KeyBank had an interesting one where they sent out a mailer to some consumers, but it was only if you took in that mailer to one Detroit branch, a very specific Detroit branch mentioned on the mailer on 8 Mile. So they were trying to build up customers for that branch, and their offer was up to $700, and you had to bring 1,000 or more of eligible deposits within 90 days, and then you had to have an eligible direct deposit signed up to get that extra $200. So it came in tiers. You could get $500 if you did one thing, and another $200 if you followed up and did another. It sounds like a headache, right?
Yeah.
Because most people keep their checking accounts for 20 years.
Well, here's a problem I have. I'd like to switch mine, but I have bills that come in and are automatically paid, and I don't quite know how to switch that over to another checking account.
Right. Well, I'm sure the bank could be able to help you if they want your business. But yes, it's a problem. It's a hassle. And you have to decide, well, how much is this really worth for me? And it is a taxable event, you know, so you will be paying taxes on it. Not that, you know, you should complain about paying taxes on an extra $900. But, right. You know, that's something you do need to figure out. And it's interesting, though, because it's a changing landscape. And as you mentioned, there's Upstart. So the banks have to be a little bit competitive here. One of the bits of advice is you mentioned the interest rates. One of the experts had mentioned, you know, maybe using most of your money in a high yield account that does pay, maybe at a credit union or elsewhere. And then, you know, using one of a smaller checking account, seeing how that might work for you. But you also have to look at, you know, where are the ATMs? What are the fees? There's also sorts of fees that can be associated with some of these checking accounts. It's really kind of mind-boggling. I'm not planning on doing this myself. I'll tell you that right now.
Really? And you're the financial person. Well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I'll spread this word because I talk about things that I do or businesses I do business with when it's been a great experience. I had great luck with DFCU Financial. I think that they are the mouse that roared. They are coming on strong. They're actually out buying banks around the country.
Yeah, as I mean, we do have a lot of names of credit unions that are, you know, pretty big and do a lot of business with people in town. So you can look at that, and you can also look at, you know, how much you can put in a CD and make in a year. You know, one of the readers that I had did criticize this, as we always get criticism, but you know, $15,000 bringing in new money, it's not for everybody, right? Not everybody's got $15,000 sitting on the sidelines for some of these deals. So that's why I say you really do have to dig into it before you get real excited. But Bankrate.com does list some of these offers online, and Fifth Third had a limited time $300 offer for opening an eligible checking account. And again, there were many rules, including direct deposit. But, you know, there are some that maybe might be a little less restrictive. And, you know, if you're shopping around, why not shop around for the bonus that would go with it? I think that's the way I would look at it. But
Susan Tompor,
other people obviously are going to sign up to get that $900.
It infuriates me, Susan Tompor, that no one told me back when I was mowing lawns for $3 a lawn and all of that, that if I would have put $50 a month away or less, I'd be a millionaire by the time I was 65. That really bothers me. No one talked about index funds except Warren Buffett. And it just bothers me we don't teaching that in school today. That should be mandatory teaching. But here's the other one I want to say real quick. How many times are we going to hear about Social Security's retirement trust fund in trouble and we're going to lose our Social Security? How many times have you and I heard that in the last 20 years and apparently no one's doing anything to fix that problem?
Yeah, they tried to fix it once and became a little bit more restrictive for some people in terms of age 67. I think we will start to see more restrictions. What they'll end up being, we don't know, but I bet that's going to be down the line. It certainly happened in the 80s, and you do see probably some more restrictions happening down the line.
How is husband Richard Burr, my original editor from when I wrote a column? I still write a column. What am I saying at the Detroit News? How's Richard Burr and how's son Matthew?
Oh, they're all doing great. Yeah, everybody who had Richard as an editor always seems to bring that up. And I think that's great because he actually is a wonderful editor. So very proud of my husband. And he's doing great work at some publication in Detroit, which also happens to be owned by the USA Today Network now. So I just won't mention their name.
Hey, the family's back, all in the family.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. Well, God bless you, Susan. Keep up the good work. And thanks for helping us so often as the personal finance columnist in the Detroit Free Press, that other newspaper. Thanks.
That's right.
Thanks, Susan. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
It's 131 WJR. Shot down over the Strait of Hormuz and then them being rescued by a drone boat. Fascinating, yes, indeed. But there's just a lot of bad stuff going on. And yet, The president has been quoted as saying an Iran peace deal is possible in 2 or 3 days. Now, he has said that a number of times. Let's check in with Jared Halpern, who follows this and so much more. Fox News correspondent extraordinaire, WJR contributor. Jared, always a pleasure.
Good to be back with you.
Does he think we don't remember that he has said there's a peace deal 2-3 days away, and he's said that for weeks now?
Well, he has believed for a long time that the deal is done, and he's just waiting, as he said today, for Iran to sign the piece of paper. But this morning, talking to reporters in the Oval Office, also said that Iran is, quote, they keep tapping us along. They keep playing us for suckers. So, I mean, we've kind of heard this mixed messaging before, right? On the one hand, the president says there is a deal. It needs to be signed. Once it's signed, this is over. And on the other hand, he says, you know, Iran keeps backing away from it. And certainly now this takes on some added urgency, given that these strikes against Iran in response to the downing of the Apache helicopter are not over. Yesterday, CENTCOM announced that they had taken out some military targets in Iran and had suggested that that was it. They were done so long as Iran did not make any other provocative moves. And then today, the president said that there was going to be more strikes later today. He said, we're going to hit them hard again today in case you miss it, in case you don't turn on your television set.
Israeli officials have called for a strong response to Iran, while the president has urged Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to hold off on further attacks, emphasizing the importance of a potential Iran. And it appears the president is the only one who doesn't remember that Iran is, they just lie. They say whatever they think he wants to hear, and then they do whatever they want to do, which is why Netanyahu does whatever he feels he needs to do that's best for Israel. So while the president's saying, well, what, 1 or 2 days away from this being over, Jordan's military has announced it successfully intercepted 5 missiles launched by Iran, targeting an area that houses U.S. air bases.
Yeah, that was part, again, of what we saw. Iran kind of responded to the response. They fired at the UAE. They fired at Kuwait. They fired at Jordan, all countries that house U.S. Military bases, U.S. military personnel. They were all successfully intercepted, which is good. These are being carried out by both ballistic missiles and drones, and the U.S. And their partners have gotten pretty good at knocking them out of the sky. But it does, to your point, go to show that this is a pretty fragile ceasefire, and in some cases not really a ceasefire,
because
we have seen over the last 48 hours an exchange of fire, right?
They can call it a ceasefire. We don't have to call it a ceasefire when people are shooting at each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not as intense as it was before, you know, April when this was announced, but it is clear that there are provocative steps being taken, and it seems unlikely that this is going to end in the next day or two, barring some significant change in thinking or public statements from the Iranian regime.
Boy, you've got a tough job, Jared, and you do it very well, and we appreciate
that. Thank you.
Anything else we need to know before we let you go?
No, I think, you know, we're kind of all waiting to see how the president responds. A lot of what he says, I think, is by design to be a little cagey and to keep people kind of guessing. And so we follow the tweets, we follow what he says, and then, of course, we kind of follow to see what the action is and what the follow-up is from CENTCOM and U.S. military commanders.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Jared Halpern is Fox News, WJR. Presidential Trump news of WJR. Bum, bum, bottom, bum, 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 bum. All right, so where's the team, the team, the team? Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons. Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, running the controls. Rich Luzinski, WJR traffic and weather first. Now, Rich was saying to me that he has always found Donald Trump, pre-President Trump, but even as President Trump, entertaining. And you mentioned that you used to enjoy What were his shows called?
The Apprentice and the Celebrity Apprentice.
I never watched those shows. I mean, I saw them. I was even a guest in Donald Trump's New York City office, and they had a recreation of the boardroom from The Apprentice.
Oh, did
up
they?
In his office.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gave me a tie and gave Kim a whatever those, a babushka. No, it's not called
a babushka. He gave you a tie?
Yeah, Donald Trump tie. Oh. He had Donald Trump
kind
ties.
Kind of like Rush Limbaugh had ties?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure it was a tie. And I'm sure he got the idea from Rush, actually, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I remember that Rush Limbaugh had Rush Limbaugh ties.
Yeah, they were very colorful. So the reason this came up is because the president's birthday is this Sunday.
Yeah.
And he will be 80. And what did you say? What you said something about it. I guess, you know, that's when they're having the UFC fighters.
Right.
In celebration of his 80th birthday on the front lawn. But he was talking about peace or
he
something.
Says,
and I think there's no better way to celebrate peace than have a bunch of people trying to kill each other in a cage.
He said his wish for his 80th birthday is peace for the world, despite vowing to continue attacking Iran very hard in the same appearance. So in the same statement, peace for the world, but yet we are going to go strong against Iran still. Well, and have a UFC fight in the front lawn of the White House.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe he'd put somebody from Iran in there and somebody from the United States and somebody from Israel in the cage.
Perfect.
And let them solve this because we're all pretty tired of it and it's affecting us all in a very sad and negative way. I've not hidden this, that I'm totally against the idea of a UFC fight on the front lawn of the White House. What next? The gladiators? I mean, because that's what this is. That's today's version of the gladiators.
Yeah.
And it's sickening to
see. What is your issue with having an MMA fight on the front lawn of the White House?
Well, I'm against that whole idea of having those fights where people can do whatever they want as long as they do it until the referee stops them. So when the guy's laying flat on his back and the other guy's kneeling on the guy's arm so he can't move and just relentlessly is punching the guy in the face with everything he's got, that's disgusting. And I know people love it, but that doesn't make it good.
It's very popular.
People love the gladiators. Off with his head. Yeah. That was fabulous entertainment.
It's not the location of the event that it bothers you.
It's
the event itself.
I don't like the event itself, but then to give it the gravitas of putting it on the front lawn of the White House as part of our 250th celebration, because everything going on there now is part of the 250th celebration.
Correct.
Which, by the way, reminds me, I heard a promo for our WJR fireworks just a few minutes ago, and I was not mentioned, but I would like to mention myself because I will be hosting that show. I don't know how much time that would have taken away from the promo to mention that, but I will be there doing the fireworks this year, and WJR will...
Per usual.
Go, yeah, I've kind of done it for a long while, and we will be broadcasting the music once again with the feed from Channel 4, and it should be a lot of fun. So
Michaels always puts on a good show.
Tony Michaels puts on a great show. I'm just going to guess that this being the 250th anniversary, it's going to be the biggest and best ever.
It's my understanding that Tony Michaels also picks the music, so it should be interesting to see what music is going to be played.
He does pick the music, but he does ask some of us.
Okay. Have you ever been part of the group that helps pick?
Kim and I have. Well, we don't do a lot. They just say, "Is there a song or two that you would like to hear?" And we've given our 2 cents worth. And this is how much they loved our 2 cents worth. We've never been asked again. I guess they know that we're going to say, "Oh, how about the Beatles?" or something like that. But it's all happening. Coming up on June 22nd, Monday, WJR once again bringing you the fireworks, traffic information you're going to need being downtown. We'll be at the rooftop party celebration and I hope you'll be tuned in. And I'm not sure exactly what time our show starts. Do you know? Does it start at 7?
I guess
5:30 to 11 on my...
I don't know the exact time.
I know we're going longer than...
You are going longer than you have in the past.
Well, in the past, we used to go all the way up to 11.
Sure.
To the end of the fireworks, and then for some reason they stopped, and now we're going back to it, and that's fine. That's great. But I did want to mention that I will be there hosting the Ford fireworks, and maybe I'll make it into the next promo.
I've been there a couple times. It's quite the party.
Oh, it's a tremendous party.
They put together Tony
I
Michaels.
I assume it's sold out.
Tony Michaels does a nice job with the whole event.
He does a great job with the parade company, period. And it's important that we understand how much the parade company does for us in Detroit on a regular basis. And we need to help them get a new facility, which Tony has picked out and all the plans in order. Because we've actually broadcast, whether it was the Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Michigan pancake breakfast or other things, from their headquarters when it was raining, and we were being rained on inside the building. That's how bad the building is they're in right now. They deserve a better place so that they don't have to quickly get out garbage bags and cover up all of the floats, for example. All right, coming up, the one and only Ryan Ermani. You may know him. Because he's the guy who does JR Afternoon immediately following this show. And Paul, I know you're ready.
Paul, I am ready. And let me tell you, happy anniversary. Yesterday, I know, was anniversary day, and happy belated anniversary. The women in our lives do not get enough credit.
Well, my Kim, you're Nicole. It's absolutely true. My life is so infinitely much better. Into it right now. But I got to go. Regards, Paul W. Smith.